It's time for our science news update, and joining us is regular Pulse contributor Cary Grenz. Cary is an associate editor at The Scientist magazine, and in that job, she comes across a lot of new studies every week and keeps us updated on all the intriguing things that are happening. The picks for this week are bumblebees, potatoes, and OCD in dogs. Hi, Cary.
Hi, Maiken.
Cary, let's start with the bumblebees. Are they at risk as well, just as we've been hearing about the honeybees?
There is some evidence that bumblebee populations have been declining. And commercial honeybees are known to have this disease called deformed wing virus. Researchers in the UK now show that wild bumblebees can also catch this disease, and it shortens their lifespan by nearly a week. That's quite significant. If you think about it, a worker bumblebee only lives a few weeks, so taking out a third or a quarter of its lifespan is considerable. They also found that in the wild, honeybees are more likely to have this disease, but that the parts of the UK, this study was done in the UK, the parts of the UK where the honeybees and bumblebees have this disease overlap. So given that honeybees are more likely to have the disease, they suspect that this deformed wing virus is spilling over from commercial honeybees into bumblebees.
And how important are bumblebees to food production, to nature, to all of those things?
They're very important. There's a lot of emerging evidence about the role of wild pollinators and their importance in crops and biodiversity. So even though we are very reliant upon commercial honeybees to pollinate crops, wild bees are also very important in providing this ecosystem service.
And can anything be done about this?
Not in the wild bumblebees, unfortunately. So there are ways to clean honeybee hives and spray some pesticides to get rid of the pathogen. But in wild bumblebees, it would really not be feasible because we don't know where the nests are. We know exactly where a commercial honeybee hive is because we put it in that place and there's 50,000 bees buzzing around. Wild bumblebees live in smaller nests and we'd have to hunt all over the landscape to find them. It's just not feasible.
Let's move on to the potatoes. This is also related to disease, this new study.
Right. So the Irish potato famine is caused by this disease called blight in potatoes. And researchers have developed a genetically modified potato that is resistant to the pathogen that causes this disease. Blight is still around, even though we think of it as being connected with the Irish potato famine. It still causes considerable damage to crops, and farmers have to use a lot of pesticides to control the disease, sometimes spraying their crops 10 to 15 times a season. So the researchers took a gene from a wild relative of potatoes. It comes from South America. They took this gene and inserted it into the genome of crop potatoes. They planted these crops out in the fields, and they found that the normal crop potatoes all got infected with blight. The genetically modified ones did not get infected at all, and their potatoes were actually larger.
But people are very resistant against anything that's genetically modified. So does this potato stand a chance?
Not in Europe, most likely. And that's where the research was done in the UK. There's considerable resistance to it. People have actually developed a genetically modified resistant potato strain, but it never got a foothold in Europe. So the research is really being done here in the US to see if it could be developed.
Do you see any changes in how people are reacting to genetically modified foods?
I do think that there's continued resistance among the public to genetically modified foods. And I think that the onus is on scientists to educate about what it is that they're doing and also then demonstrate that these can be safe.
Your final pick for this week, Cary, is about OCD in dogs.
That's right. So dogs can have obsessive compulsive disorder. I think a lot of my fellow dog owners might recognize it in their pets. And this week, researchers report on four genes in dogs that are connected to OCD in canines. They compared the genomes of dogs with OCD and dogs without, and found that the mutations in these genes were more likely among the dogs with OCD. So there's a lot more research to be done on these genes and whether correcting the effects of these mutations can actually help the disease. But it does look like the genes are involved in what is understood about OCD in humans. So people are also thinking that perhaps dogs could serve as a model for understanding this disease in humans.
And how does it express itself in dogs?
Repetitive behaviors, so incessant tail chewing or gnawing on a dog bed or a blanket, chasing one's tail. I mean, they seem like almost normal dog behaviors, but these would be kind of excessively repetitive and potentially even damaging.
But there's no treatment yet.
There is no treatment, no. And it was interesting. One of the things I learned from this study is that there are certain breeds that have a higher prevalence of OCD. And the study included Doberman Pinschers, Bull Terriers, Shetland Sheepdogs, and German Shepherds.
Thank you so much, Carrie.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Carrie Grenz is an associate editor at The Scientist.